What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 495, and this week's episode is brought to you by our friends over at ADATA and this little guy right here. This is their brand new TapSafe portable SSD, and it's a small little SSD. I've been testing it, and just to skip to the end of our show notes this week, this is what I'll be taking a look at next week. But it's a really cool little portable SSD. It's all metal enclosure, which I like, and it's tap to unlock. So you use NFC on your phone to just tap to unlock this, which I think is super, super cool. And it's like has a little clip on the back. You can clip it to stuff. I love portable storage. I know, Ryan, you're slowly getting into the portable storage but I have so many portable SSDs, but I love this one because it's just super small. And I love the security of, it's like, if you lose this, somebody, you know, a normal SSD, somebody can just plug in and just, you know, access your data. With this, they need to tap the NFC. And of course they don't have that, you know, that access. So I really like this. If you do want to learn more, you can check out thinkcomputers.org/urban-tap-safe. And that will give you all the information you need to know about this little drive. But definitely stay tuned. Next week, we will have our full review on the website of this. But I love portable storage. And I always travel with like four or five like little drives all the time. Like one for editing, one for just like having, like if I'm shooting videos, like so I have that. And then like sometimes like it'll be a game drive, like whatever it is, I always have these. And protecting my data is, of course, super important. So thanks to ADATA for sponsoring this week's episode and, of course, for sending this over to review. Now, of course, next to me, or whichever way, next to me, is my trusty co-host, Ryan. How was your 4th of July?
It was pretty good. Pretty uneventful. It was actually, like, really nice weather. Usually it's pretty freaking hot and miserable, and like you're just waiting for it to cool down so you can feel good going outside to shoot off fireworks. But it like got a little cloudy and cooled off, so no, it was really good. It was great. How about you?
Nice. Yeah, just went to a friend's had a little get together, which was nice. But that was essentially a kind of low key this year. Nothing crazy. It never is really anything crazy, I would say.
There's got to be like big fireworks shows in San Diego, right? Like on the water, on the beach.
Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff. It's just too, I don't like crowds. There's like too many people. You know what I mean?
I get you.
So pretty low key, but definitely had like, you know, like the 4th of July stuff, like burgers and all the bad food I don't normally eat. So that was kind of fun to indulge just a little bit when it comes to the food. But we have a full show this week. We took a look at three different products. So I took a look at a really cool laptop, a really cool PC case. Ryan took a look at a really interesting AIO. And then for the news, the RTX 3060 is back for some reason. We have some Steam Machine news. We have Microsoft doing quite a lot of layoffs and a whole bunch of other stuff going on this week as well. But if you do want to follow along, we have our full show notes page that is right here. That's going to have the links to everything. So as we kind of go through everything, if you're interested, you can click through and get even more information on all of this kind of stuff. But we'll start with reviews this week. And I took a look at a case that I said last week that was really designed for Ryan, because it's kind of hard to see in Ryan's video right there, but he does have like a lot of action figures behind him. Kind of hard to see back there, but there's
a bunch of stuff back there.
He has a bunch of action figures back there. Well, Cooler Master designed a PC case that's specifically made to house an action figure. So if you're into computers and you're into action figures or collectibles, it's kind of a cool way to marry the two things and have like the ultimate showpiece of your PC, as well as a collectible or an action figure. So this case is the MasterFrame 360 Panorama, and it's pretty big case. Like it's really big overall. And it's called 360 panorama because there's glass on all sides, or not all sides, but three main sides. So you have glass on your main side panel. You also have glass right here in the front. And then the actual back or opposite side panel has glass as well. And that's something we don't typically see these days. So it's pretty cool to have like wraparound glass on this. So I really, really like that. Currently, or probably the only color that they're going to come out with is going to be this black. And then if you're wondering, the glass is slightly tinted. It's not a dark tint, but it is slightly tinted going all around. And this front part of the case is essentially designed as like a stage to house your collectible or your action figure. And it actually fits a pretty big, so like if you're thinking about action figures, like sometimes you think about something that's like, I don't know, like, you know, I dropped this. Something like, you know, something small, right? Something like this, right? But actually it fits like really big action figures, which I was kind of surprised with. So you have this little front part that's a stage. There's a mirror behind it. There's actually three different versions of this case. There's one that has an LCD back here, and the stage doesn't have any glass. And then there's one that has the stage without any glass as well. And you can see that mirror when you go ahead and take the front off. All the panels on this case easily come off too. They slide right off. It's really, really easy to take them off. Completely toolless when it comes to all of the panels. And you can see that glass right there. And then there's actually these little spotlights right here at the top. These have ARGB connections, so you can wire them into your motherboard and control them that way. But they're pretty cool. Like they're, you know, you can angle them in towards your action figure if you want to. Now, this case is a master frame case. So it's built on the whole master frame philosophy of kind of a modular design. So the way the cooling works in this case is you have cooling brackets on the top and bottom of the case. They're identical and they actually extend the entire width of the case. So normally at the top of a case, you could do like a 360 millimeter radiator or like three 120 millimeter fans or something like that. But in this case, you can actually do six 120 millimeter fans across the entire width of the case, which I think is really cool. And then you can adjust these brackets. So they're on this rail system. So if, you know, you can do, you can actually do two 200 millimeter fans up here and in the bottom. So you can adjust these brackets really easily. So I like the kind of modularity you have when it comes to cooling. So that's kind of what the top of the case looks like. And again, you can see those are just screws and you can adjust them depending on your fan layout. Here's what the side of the case looks like. And I'll show you once we get inside kind of the internal layout, but again, really meant to show off your system, right? Because again, it's all glass on both sides. And then on the backside, again, we have that glass. Now there is some covers here to cover up your kind of cable mess, because again, this is where all your cables are going to go. And in a normal case, you don't, it's just a normal panel, so you can kind of hide it. But because we have glass, they have put some covers here, which again, I will get into. And then on the back, and the back's really interesting. So we have our normal, you know, motherboard mount here, but we only have vertical graphics card installation. So only having vertical graphics card installation means that we need a riser. The case actually does come with a PCIe riser, so you're kind of good to go. And it gives you an idea of the layout, like power supply is on the opposite side, like most sort of dual compartment cases. But this is sort of like a single column, which again, I'll get into once you get inside. We get a better look at that vertical graphics card installation. And then one thing I found really interesting were the feet. The feet on this case are just kind of just different than you're normally used to seeing on a case. They lift the case up a considerable amount because of the fact that we don't have, you know, any intake on the front. We don't have any side mount cooling. We only have cooling on the bottom and the top. So this lifts the case off the ground so you get proper cooling going underneath, which I think is very important for this case. And then
you adjust those feet at all to like raise it up or down a little?
No, you cannot. Okay. As I said, getting inside is really easy. You can kind of pop off the panel. You just put some pressure on it and it kind of just pops off and it kind of will sit there, which is nice. So you can kind of pop it off with two hands and then pick it up with a single hand so you don't get fingerprints on it, which is really nice. And then when you get inside, you have what I like to call the central column. So there's this column that includes like your motherboard mount and things like that. And it's lifted off the bottom of the case. So it's not necessarily two different compartments of the case. It's just a central column where all of your hardware is housed. The reason that this is really important is because it allows you to have those six fans going across the entire length of the bottom of the case to cool the entire column, which again is pretty cool considering the overall design of this case. As far as motherboard support, it's just ATX. Back connect motherboard support as well. As you can see, it does come with the GPU support bracket. The issue with having the central column and the case being sort of, it could have been made wider, but it would have made it really, really big. The issue that you run into is that this only supports CPU coolers as tall as 145 millimeters. And like every tower
tall
is like at least 150, 152. Cooler Master's own Hyper 212 is 158. So you're kind of, unless you're doing a low profile air cooler, you are very much limited to an AIO in this. So that's kind of one of the bad things about this case. If you wanted to do the air cooling route, you can see that cooling that goes across the entire bottom of the case. Same thing as the top. We have Old Man in the chat. Good to see you here. We missed you last week. And the backside of the case comes off just like the main main side panel. And then we have these covers. And up until this point, installation or getting inside the case has been completely toolless. But when you get to these covers, you have to remove a bunch of screws. I believe there's four on this one and three on this one. Not that it's a big deal, but everything else has been toolless and this is not. So it's just kind of a bit annoying. So you have, and again, this gives you a good idea of like that central column and how everything is designed. And then you have a storage bracket over here. This supports two 2.5-inch SSDs as well as a 3.5-inch hard drive. And then you can see the back part of the case where you're going to mount your power supply, full ATX power supply support. And again, you can see that storage bracket. And you can fully remove the storage bracket if you want to. And again, this is where your power supply is going to go and everything like that. And again, this column does not go all the way to the top or the bottom of the case, which gives you room for cooling as far as radiators and things like that. And then as far as insulation goes, things are quite easy. There is a lot of room to work with in this case. You can see I installed an AIO because I was limited to install an AIO, but it goes in really easily, again, with the brackets here. No issues. The one issue I did have, which was kind of concerning, is that the spotlights, they don't reach to the bottom of my motherboard. And while most newer motherboards do have a ARGB connection sort of like right here, some don't. So that was a bit concerning. And then as far as insulation goes, again, I took the storage bracket out, put it on my drive, put it back in. And again, here's kind of like the cable mess before the covers. So you really didn't, you really don't want to see that. So when you cover everything up, it's nice and covered up there. Installing a graphics card vertically, no problem. Again, you do have that GPU support bracket, so you're covered there, so you're not going to get any sag or anything like that. And then I put an action figure in there. So I'm not an action figure person, so this is like the biggest action figure that I have from Warhammer 40K. So put that in there, and you can kind of see what the case looks like with all of the hardware installed and everything like that, and your action figure in the front. And again, you can kind of see that it is definitely separated. Like they definitely have separated the front from the main PC part. I don't know, like it would have been nice to kind of, meld that together just a little bit. But here it is with the lights on. The only lights that are going to be in the case are going to be the spotlights. But of course we had some ARGB elements in our build. And here's what our action figure looks like inside. And here's kind of what the build looks like. One thing I really would have wished they would have been able to do as well is be able to move this stage up. Yep. Because if you have a smaller action figure, it kind of sits at the bottom and you have a lot of dead space right here. that was the kind of thing that I kind of wished that you could do right there. But overall, it's a pretty good case. Another thing that you may have issues with because of the way this case is designed is that this fan back here, because we just have glass and there's no ventilation, there is it's going to be starved for air on this side. And then on the opposite side, if you do have a thicker graphics card, it's going to sit pretty close to the glass on this side. Now, you can, of course, install fans to do the cooling, you know, coming from the bottom to the top. But this case does not ship with any fans either. So definitely something to consider. But I think if you're in that realm of, I really like collectibles and action figures, I really like PCs, I want to mold my two hobbies together, this is probably the only case, at least currently, that you can do this with without like having to mod your case or just kind of put an action figure like sitting somewhere inside your system. I have seen builds with like really big action figures in the front. They do look really good. And the version that has the LCD is actually really cool. Is this something that you would get, Ryan? Since you're like an
action figure. I don't know. Maybe. Most of my action figures are still in the package. So
you're one of those guys.
I am. I do think this, the LCD version I think is probably the coolest to me, because what I picture is like you have a Batman figure, and then if you could like get an animated cape where it looks like he's standing on top of the building and the cape's like flapping in the wind behind him, or you know, something like that, or a Spider-Man, like if you could pose him like he's swinging through buildings or something, I think that would be really cool in this type of case.
For sure. And again, this case does not ship with any fans, no fans at all. It's $269.99 without any fans.
It is
worth mentioning that the frame of the case is aluminum. It is a very high-end case. It's not like steel or anything like that. But I think, you know, the target audience could see this being worth it. But if you're not into action figures, they do make a normal master frame that it doesn't have all the glass, that would have proper cooling in the front, that would give you the same high-quality case without the front part. And give you more support for like normal graphics card installation, normal air coolers and things like that. So at $269.99, you kind of have to fit into that mold of I want to bring my two hobbies together. I didn't like that the power supply and your GPU can be starved for air depending on you know, how close it is to the glass. It doesn't come with any fans. It only supports CPU coolers as tall as 45 millimeters. You can't adjust that stage where the action figure sits up or down. And again, the spotlight ARGB cables don't reach the bottom of the motherboard. So all things to keep in mind. Not like I didn't like the case. I think it's super high end, and it's really cool that, you know, Cooler Master went out and again gave people who are into action figures and collectibles something where they can bring two of their hobbies together. But I gave it a 7 out of 10. Check out the review if you guys are interested. Of course, that's linked in the show notes. And then moving on, Ryan, you took a look at a really interesting liquid CPU cooler that kind of gives off those, you know, those retro vibes.
I did.
Yeah. So let's add you to the stage. There you go.
Cool. Yeah, I took a look at the Xastra Astra LZ360 ARGB BK AIO. So this is a new brand to us. Xastra is. And this is a 360 millimeter all-in-one cooler, kind of like the name implies. Now, ARGB in the name, I think they probably could have skipped that or like given it a different name, because like ARGB is actually pretty minimal in this. There's ARGB lighting rings around the fans. But there's also these, I've kind of called them like matrix displays of LEDs on the sides of the fans and on the pump housing, which we'll get to in just a second. But I think they could have changed the name up a little bit to better sell this type of cooler.
I just think the product name's too long. Like we've talked about this so many times that like
exactly
these companies just need to calm it down with the product name.
I'm a Dan. But like I kind of mentioned in the intro, like we've seen so many AIOs with like a high resolution LCD display with a high frame rate or curved screens, you know, stages with multiple screens. This kind of like gives you like a retro look. And there's definitely a desire for that type of hardware out there right now, especially with cases from like Silverstone going back, you know, a bit with more of a retro look. So this is kind of an option there. I know you have like a little light thing on your desk, I think, that has a similar type of display.
Yes.
So there's definitely a market for this type of look on products. So
it's plugged in.
That's all right. Comes in pretty standard retail packaging, as you would expect. Comes with all the mounting accessories and hardware you need for current AMD and Intel systems. So you're all set there. No pre-applied thermal paste, but they do include a nice big syringe of thermal paste. Not a tiny one. This is a good size one. I always appreciate the tiny ones as well, but like the bigger one is just like, I don't know, you're getting more for your money. So I always appreciate that. This also comes with a dedicated 14 channel controller. I know, 14. I was like looking at, I was like, wait a second. Are these just like fans on one side and LEDs on the other? Nope. They are a combo.
At least it's not Molex.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So yeah, it has two SATA power connections, which makes sense, right? Because you're powering up to 14 devices. So this is going to connect to your system. It's going to give you a pinout for PWM monitoring on your motherboard so you can monitor fans. And then there's also a USB connection so you can control devices with the software that is available from XAstra. As you can see here on one side, we've got 7 ports, and they're kind of broken down into a 5-pin and a 4-pin for those devices. So it is kind of a proprietary connection there on those. And then on the end here, you can see the USB and motherboard pin outs as well for that. Getting a closer look at it. Go ahead.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's in the chat this week. Yes, he's in the chat.
Uh-oh.
She said, you're very creative talking about the screen, I assume. And then old man, this is actually a good thing for you, Ryan. Talking about the case, he said that you could display rare comics in the front of the case.
You could, if as long as like that lighting doesn't have any UV to it, you don't want to worry about any fading or anything that. But yes, you could possibly do that. If most LEDs though don't put off any UV wavelength, so you're usually pretty good, safe. So anyhow, the Astra series comes in 240 and 360 millimeter sizes, white and black. So you've got a lot of color and size options there to go with your cooler. It's a standard 27 millimeter thick radiator. The fans are a little thicker though. I think they are a 30 millimeter fan. Usually translates to better static pressure for pushing air through a radiator, which is always nice. But really just kind of a standard looking AIO when you first look at it, right? We got some fans there. One thing you may notice is the fan blades. There's a thick like frame around these. The fan blades aren't as big as we've seen on some others, and a lot of that's due to we've got LCDs in the side of the fans, so you kind of want to make sure that fan blade assembly is in the center of the fan body, so you lose a little bit of size on those blades just to make room for the LCD that is on the side. Like I said, standard 27 millimeter thickness radiator, 20 fins per inch, which is pretty standard, you know, anywhere from like 18 to 22, with obviously 20 right in the middle. So nothing crazy there. Again, your standard fittings on the end, nice long 400 millimeter length braided tubing for those, nice and flexible as well, which is really nice. And then we get to the pump housing, and it's a very basic look. I kind of call this like a rounded cube. And that's pretty much what it is, right? Your sides are pretty plain, except for some ventilation on a couple sides. And then you have this like frosted top that conceals the 16 by 16 LED matrix underneath that we'll get to here in a second. And I'll show you exactly what that can display. You got your standard swivel fittings. I will note they are pretty tight, or at least they were on my sample. So moving them for installation and just taking pictures, they're just a little stiffer than others, which I mean is nice because they're going to stay where you want once you got them moved. But it's always a little like when you got to use that extra force, you're always maybe a little worried about like a fitting coming loose or forcing it. So but really nothing too crazy there. Goes up to 3000 RPMs with a noise level up to 28 decibels. And then you've got your standard USB cable coming out the side for controlling that screen via that controller. And then you also have a 4-pin PWM for the pump and monitoring that device. On the bottom, a pretty standard copper base, although it looks kind of dirty here. And that's exactly how it looked when I pulled the little protective sticker off the bottom. Sometimes you'll like maybe see some residue from a sticker that's on there. I tried wiping this off, cleaning it off, to no luck. And I actually read another review on this cooler, and they had very similar thoughts. Like they talk about this being oxidization safe and free. Yeah, but I don't know. I think they need to work on that a little bit. Didn't affect performance though, as you'll see here in a bit. Moving on, again, those fans are 120 millimeters. They have a RGB lighting ring around them. We got rubber pads pre-installed in the corners. They are pre-installed, which is nice. Okay. They're not pre-wired or daisy-chained, though. Ugh. So they are installed, and they have this kind of cool cutout on the side, which is kind of neat. But yeah, they're a sleeved cabling on the fans, which I do like, but they don't daisy chain. But it kind of makes sense because they're all going back to the one controller, and you can put different types of displays or information and control each one of them individually via that controller. So if they were daisy chained, you may lose some of that control, especially related to those displays on the side. So I think okay. It actually kind of makes sense to do it this way, right? Installation super easy, right? You've already got the fans installed, so that's super easy. You do have to slide on a bracket, either AMD or Intel. None comes from the factory pre-installed, so you do have to make sure that you pop that on there. Doesn't use the factory AMD mounting hardware, so you will need to remove those brackets if you have them on your motherboard. Toss on some standoffs and then use some thumb screws. Now, they're not spring-loaded thumb screws. I do like the spring-loaded ones because I just don't worry as much when I'm tightening it down.
Yeah.
And these, it just like goes till it stops. So just keep that in mind there. Don't torque them down too hard there. And then here it is installed. And these screens kind of have like this frosted, smoky look to them, which is kind of neat when they're turned off. But they look really good when they're turned on as well. Now, I mentioned they do offer software with this. And it's kind of broken up into a couple areas. The major one is the fan. And it's got a couple sub-menus as well. So you can control, again, the display on the side. And that is a 8x24, I believe, or 8x28 matrix on the side. And you can use like custom or preset items. So you can do like a preset that'll show CPU temp, GPU temp, what time it is, what date it is, or you can just customize it. You can essentially draw whatever you want on there. You can make animated imagery if you wanted that's custom. It's going to take a lot of work in the software. But if you want to do it, you can do it. You can also, you know, adjust the ARGB lighting around the fan body. And then of course, control the fan speed itself if you want, or you can just do a motherboard PWM mode and let your motherboard control it via that pass-through in the controller, which is kind of nice. Another thing you could do is up at the top here, you'll see these three fans are all individual. You can create a new group and it'll group them together. So that way, if you wanted the same thing on all of them and wanted to control them all at once and all the same, you just group them up and then you don't have to control and adjust each one individually. But I do like that individual control that you get with the software and how that's set up via the controller.
Oldman so says, cool. He said it would be cool if you could display animations traveling across the screen.
So like Jason goes. You could if you wanted to create one. And some of their imagery on the website showed like some Mario-esque looking items. Those weren't included here. But yes, you could certainly do like a Pac-Man design. There's kind of a space one that kind of does that. That's kind of cool. But yeah, you could absolutely do something like that with this. Then we have the liquid cooling menu that just essentially allows you to do the same type of thing, custom or preset imagery, whether that's animated or static on the screen. The air cooling menu is the exact same thing. They have some air coolers with these same LED type displays. So that's what's on the air cooling. And then the hardware just kind of gives you a quick look at your hardware that's installed on your system. And then here's just a quick gallery of some of the shots of it in action. And it's like just this cool nostalgic look. The animations are like just, it's like you popped on your NES and like you're back back in the day. There's a little like snowman guy showing the CPU temps, right? Here's kind of that space imagery I was talking about. It doesn't 100% like transfer from one to the other, but you could probably design your own so that it flows better across those three, right? And then I don't have it on here. I think it's on my last page, or it's actually in the header image. You can see here, I've got like the CPU temp on one, GPU temp on the other, and then like the time on the side. So that's kind of cool that you can do that. And you can actually have them like scroll and rotate through different items as well, which I really liked.
Nice.
As far as performance goes, this thing actually does really well. Idle, it's just kind of average. One thing I will say is the fan's speed range only goes down to 800 RPM. So if you want something a little quieter, this may not be for you if you want it super quiet, but those fans do go up to 2200 RPM. But idle, just kind of mid-range. But then once we start putting a load on it, it actually does really well and performs in the top like 3 and 4, depending on our fan speeds and everything, right? So ties or matches many of those other coolers that we have taken a look at. Same thing in the full load with the CPU and FPU on there. Performs really well. I was really surprised. Now, that performance does come with a cost to your ears, right? 500 RPM, which is actually going to be right around 800 RPM for the minimum on these, isn't so bad. But then once you start getting up to 1,000, 1,500, right, we're starting to top the charts or become very close to the top. So it is a loud cooler once you start putting some RPMs on those fans. So other than that, like, I think this thing's pretty cool. Cool, like, retro design on those displays. I think the performance is really nice, especially for, you know, it's always nice to get a nice first impression from a new company that we've taken a look at. So I thought that was pretty cool. I gave it a 7 out of 10. And part of that is due to, I don't know what this thing costs. We are missing some pricing information from Xastra. It's not available in our normal spots where we would pick it up. So I can't like say it's great. This thing could cost $400. I don't think it's going to cost anywhere near $400. Yeah. Yeah, but if it did, right, that's going to affect things. I think it will be much, much less than that. Maybe even half that, but we do have great load performance, the cool LED matrix. You got that 14-channel controller. The fans aren't daisy-chained, but it kind of makes sense with how they're set up, and then it's loud. So right now, I've given it a 7 out of 10. If we get that pricing information from the company, you know, it becomes available in the future, and it's a really nice cost there, I could see this bumping up to like an 8 out of 10 for sure. So, yeah, really cool.
Nice. Definitely go ahead and check out Ryan's review. And that's really cool. Like, I like that we're getting just more than, you know, a screen. We're getting screens on the fans now. I think that's really, really cool. I just,
pretty sweet.
That's awesome. So, yeah, be sure to check out Ryan's review. And then finally, my last review of this past week is of a laptop. And this is the MSI Stealth AI Plus B3WF. AI Plus, man, I'm not a fan of the AI Plus name.
I'm looking at a laptop too right now, and it's got AI in the name, and I'm just like, ugh.
But this is a 16-inch laptop that feels more like a 14-inch laptop. It's very thin, but it still has like desktop class performance. It has a Core Ultra 9 processor, RTX 5060, laptop GPU, 32 gigabytes of DDR5. The display is a 240 hertz QHD plus OLED. It just has everything. Like, it has everything that you want in this sort of all aluminum chassis, which just, it's like an aluminum alloy chassis. It feels so good in your hand, and it's that, like, I always make fun of Ryan because one time he brought a really clunky, big gaming laptop to CES one year. And this feels like a traveling laptop. Like, it doesn't feel like a big clunky laptop. So I really, really like that. You know, and again, it has this like nice sort of like sleek design to it. It is quite thin, like very, very thin. As far as ports go, you are going to get, on one side, you're going to get 2 Thunderbolt 4s and then a USB-A. This is actually your charging port. MSI has gone with sort of like this connection that looks like a, I guess it's like, it's almost like a USB port, like a USB-A port, but that's their charging connection there. And then on the opposite side, because this is a gaming laptop, you're going to get another USB-A, you're going to get a combo audio jack, but you're going to get a full-size HDMI, full-size 2.5 gig Ethernet, which is great. Yep. So I really like that you're getting that. And then the display, like I said, 16-inch QHD Plus, which is 2560 by 1600, so you're getting a little bit more vertical space on there. You do get a 1080p webcam with a privacy filter if you're doing any work on this. And then the actual keyboard is very comfortable, and the keys actually have a good amount of travel. So it's not going to be like a mechanical keyboard or anything like that, but the keys have a good amount of travel and they're actually very comfortable. The power button is built into the keyboard. Sometimes I'm a fan of that, sometimes I'm not, but it's right there. Also, that is going to be your fingerprint reader as well. Again, if you're doing work on this or something like that, you do have a fingerprint reader if you want to use Windows Hello. And because this is AI, you do have your dedicated Copilot button right there. Dedicated Copilot. Speakers on each side. Very large touchpad here. Very comfortable touchpad on this as well. In the back is the cheese grater.
I thought this was very interesting looking, yeah.
Yeah, but the cooling design on this is really interesting because this is not the only place where air comes in and out of the laptop. There's actually sections like right here, you can kind of see it, where air gets pushed out of the laptop as well. So they call this is actually called their tri-path cooling design. So there's three different sections for cooling. And then this can be upgraded if you want to. So you remove 7 screws on the back and the back pulls off, and you can see one, there's 2 M.2 slots. So one is populated with the 1 terabyte SSD. You can add a second one if you want. And then your memory is under here. And these are DDR5 SODIMMs. So if you wanted to upgrade your memory, you can go ahead and do that as well. And then the Wi-Fi you could upgrade as well, because you can just take this little card out and do that. And if you ever needed to do or get a new battery or something like that, pretty easy to take that out too. So pretty upgradable and serviceable, especially if you wanted to clean, you know, these fans out and stuff too. So pretty easy to go ahead and do that. Performance wise, we ran a handful of different things. Storage, you know, PC Mark 10. I know most of you guys are probably interested in gaming. So when it comes to gaming, we ran a handful of games, 2560 by 1600. Some titles well over 100 FPS, some titles right around 60 FPS with that built-in GPU. And again, a lot of these are without things like DLSS 4 enabled, so keep that in mind. And then at 1080p, well over 100 FPS, a couple games not, but right around, you know, 100 to 150 FPS in our handful of games that we tested. And then, of course, we also ran 3D Mark. So if you want to do your kind of comparisons there, you can go ahead and do that. But the thing I really like about this laptop is that you're getting really good performance. The 5060 GPU, the Core Ultra 9 386H, 32 gigabytes of DDR5, really good gaming performance, I think. That display is excellent. And that display is really good if you're doing editing work as well. It is DCI-P3 and Delta E, which makes it really good for doing like color accurate editing and things like that. So I really like that. It's just a good laptop overall. And like I said, it doesn't feel like a clunky gaming laptop. So I like that. I like the full-size HDMI. I like the full-size Ethernet. And then Thunderbolt 4 means you can connect a ton of things to it, which is great as well. So, not much to not like about it. Like any gaming laptop, if you're gaming, gaming, it is going to be a bit loud, just like any gaming laptop. And the price is a bit high with the current memory, shortage. This model that we reviewed is, $2,699. So $2,700. So pretty expensive. But like I said, for a 16-inch, you know, fully fledged gaming laptop, it's a really good one, and I really enjoyed my time with it. Sad to go back to my 14-inch after this one. So yeah, so check that review out as well. That moves us to Case Mod Friday, of course, where we feature a builder mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have the Maraputhis. I don't know how to say that. But this was a build done for ADATA XPG. And I love when people do this sort of like channeling with water cooling in the side panel. I think that's super cool. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, Ryan, since you're the...
They have two loops then?
Yeah.
One with red coolant and one with clear. Yeah, this is cool. Mira is like their brand, like their mascot type of thing. If they made a figure, you could put it in that Cooler Master case. But I think it's cool. Like you said, having those dedicated distribution channels there built into it. And this one's obviously very custom. You've got those triangles on the back and just all sorts of cool stuff with this one.
When's the day where we're gonna see you do this with your power
spike? Oh no, with my cabling? No,
yeah,
never.
That's just someone says dedication right there to do all that with the power supply.
Yes.
But yeah, I love the channeling in this, and just like the whole design, it all goes together. And really high quality work on this one too. Just looks awesome. And then the top, yeah, just really, really cool. And the figure is in, or like, a, yeah, the figure is in the reservoir, which is pretty cool as well. So yeah. So awesome build.
Arc card.
Yeah.
And no, you don't see too many Intel cards in these custom builds, but that is cool.
Yeah. So this is from Wizmod. So we have them linked if you want to check out more of their stuff. But awesome build this week. And of course, if you want to check out builds, I always say you can just go to articles on the site and then go down to Case Mod Friday. And then there's just so many. Like we've been featuring builds for years. So many for you to kind of scroll through. So definitely go ahead and do that. And then our Cushion 3060 is back, like back in production. Well, it's being re-released, and that's going to start off our news for the week. So NVIDIA essentially has relaunched the RTX 3060 12 GB. And we do have Corey in the chat. Good to see you in here, Corey. So 3060 launched 5 years ago.
Wow.
For $329, might add.
Yep. Okay.
It's launching 5 years later.
Yep.
For $329.
All right.
And you can get a 5060 for how much? A 5060 is $10 to $20 more expensive, and it's 40% faster.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
With less VRAM.
Sure. Okay. I'll still take that over this, I think.
Yeah. I guess, like, you know, there's like we talked about this so many times with NVIDIA. It's like we used to have like every $100 there was like a card, you know, every 100. Now right. It's like every you know, every $10, every $20 there's a card now. So I guess they just like, you know, they had all these old GPUs and they were just like, well, we can relaunch this, you know, this fills a void. It's wild to release a graphics card 5 years later for, I believe it was the same price.
It is. Yeah. I just checked.
Yeah. So 5 years later and you're re-releasing the card at the same price.
It's for somebody. Like we always wonder, it's like, okay, maybe this is going into pre-builds, right, that are on the shelf at a Best Buy that aren't the, like, top of the line, but it's still going to play some games and be better than an integrated GPU in most cases.
Yeah. I think we're cooked. The market is just cooked. Like, Again, NVIDIA has a 5060 that's essentially 40% faster in most scenarios.
Yep.
For like $10 to $20 more.
Does the 3060 require external power? I think it's just board power, right?
I don't know. I don't remember. I reviewed a couple of them 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Old man in the chat said the 9060 XT 16 gigs still sells for about $400. Yeah, I just don't understand, like, I don't know.
It's just weird to see a two generation old card coming back to life. I mean, thankfully it's the same price, I guess, but it's just weird. Like, why not just make
it? Well, it shouldn't be the same price.
No, five years later. Right. Yeah. It should. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not more expensive, right? If anything, it should be cheaper. However, we know that memory is still way up. So it's.
Yeah.
That's a
positive. And I should sell my 3060s I have here.
Yeah. They're worth the same amount.
I know. I got a couple here. But yeah, I just think we're at the point where it's just like, you know, they were gonna launch that 5059 gig that never happened. Right. And this is kind of like the alternative, kind of just like, you know, if you want to get the lowest kind of price point, like this is a little bit cheaper than the 5060. Like, here it is. It has 12 gigs of VRAM. So like, if you're in like the 2% that needs 12 gigs of VRAM, you know, here it is, I guess. I don't know. It's just not, I don't know. I just think as like, you know, and again, the biggest slap in the face is it's 5 years later and it's the same price.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that's,
it's always supposed to be like the older tech gets cheaper and like you can pick it up for a discounted price.
It's, yeah.
That's not happening anymore.
Yeah. You can buy it brand new 5 years later for the same price.
Same price. Yeah.
Yeah. So, talking about NVIDIA, it looks like RTX 50 Super might be coming out. I don't know, because this was supposed to come out and then it didn't. Yep. And now if you go to Seasonic's website and you like kind of configure your power supply, now they have the Supers in there.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Maybe they know something we don't know. And 5080 Super says it's going to have a TDP of 415 watts. The 5070 Ti Super, 350 watts, and the 5070 Super, 275 watts. So this is not a confirmation that these cards are coming out, but they have the information for the cards in there, which is interesting.
Right.
So don't know if 50 it's Super, maybe something, you know, as you know, we're getting into, it's July, maybe something towards holiday season. Cause like,
yeah.
Are they going to launch the 6000 series at like insane prices because of the, you know, the memory shortage? So maybe Super Series as something that they can put out towards holiday season. Yep. That's my guess. But the,
I think it's pretty credible, right? You got your vendors. It's not like they're repeating the power requirements for it. I'm excited. This excites me, right? Because I don't think that either 6000 series isn't going to happen in the time frame that we are used to, or it's going to come out in a crazy price point, unfortunately. So this is kind of a nice, hopefully a nice bridge between.
Hopefully we shall see. Of course, Noctua recently released their NLLC1 liquid coolers, their first liquid coolers, and if you're like Ryan, you hate the color. You hate the Noctua color.
Depends.
Some people hate the Noctua color. So if you hate the Noctua color, Noctua had said that they will target a late 2026 release for the Chromax Black version. So if you wanted the all black, you should be able to get it by late 2026. This was not in their roadmap initially, but they responded on YouTube. I believe this is YouTube, saying it's towards the end of the year. So yeah,
I don't see how they couldn't have, like they say, like due to customer demand. It's like, you've got to know that customers want your stuff in just black.
Well, yeah, ever since Chromax Black came out, that's of course the, you know, the all black version. I just think they do that to get like the hype around the original, and then they're like, oh, we're gonna, yeah, you know, it's just like, you know, when GTA 6 comes out, oh, it's on, you know, console first, and then we have to wait for it. It's like the same thing, I feel. Yeah. So yeah. Something that I used for so many years, and they finally have a new version, especially for ATX 3.1. Thermaltake has released a new version of their Dr. Power. This is their Dr. Power 3 Pro for PSU diagnostics. So if you want to check your rails and everything like that, this new one supports ATX 3.1. So you have your 12VH PWR right there. So you can get all the information and everything that's kind of going through your power supply. So you can check rails and do all that kind of stuff. You ever use one of these?
I haven't. It's kind of cool though.
Oh, I used one of these in the past. But
the most diagnostics I have for a power supply isn't even diagnostics. It's the little, you plug it into your 24 pin so you can power it on without having it connected to your computer.
Yeah, so this allows you to connect everything and kind of see what your power supply is doing, if you're having any issues or anything like that. So pretty cool that we have a new version and a version that supports, again, ATX 3.1. So Thermaltake.
Well, it's got Molex too. That's good.
Some power supplies still have Molex these days. Yeah. So, now this is something that I saw and I thought it was cool, but at the same time, it's way too expensive, and I don't know who's using a 50% keyboard, but a new mechanical keyboard came out. This is the Keyboy Advanced mechanical keyboard. It's a 50% compact keyboard, as you can see. So very small, and like, it's made to look like a Game Boy Advance. Obviously you're not holding it like that to type.
Are you sure? I was gonna say, you gotta have some long thumbs to hit some of those keys, but
yeah.
That's kind of neat.
It is cool looking. Like, I like the idea of these like retro, and it's such a tiny, that's so small, dude. It's such a tiny keyboard. 50% is real, like I've done 60%, but 50% is like, you know, really small. And again, it's like, it's designed to look like a Game Boy Advance. It's $275.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And there are a couple versions with like clear acrylic, as well, to kind of mimic those, clear Game Boy, colors as well. Like, would you buy this?
No. If it I don't even think I'd buy it at half the price. It's neat. It's just, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, just, and I'm not like into Nintendo or Game Boy that much either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I didn't see this in the chat. Ryan didn't tell me. Noctua spit on that thing. That's funny. You guys always do that when we talk about Noctua, or like we do a Noctua video, and then that's like the first comment. It's like the most upvoted comment on the video too, which is kind of funny. So, but yeah, a Keyboy Advance, it's just way too, $275 for a 50% keyboard that I'll probably never use. No. Now this is something that if I had a Steam machine, I would want. So when we first started talking about the Steam machine, when it was announced, we saw this picture. We saw this picture of this e-ink display, and we were wondering, like, is this going to be a version of the Steam machine that comes with this? Like, it'd be really cool because it's e-ink and it's showing, you know, your CPU temperature, your GPU temperature, and like your fan speed, all in this really cool e-ink display. And what actually, this was actually developed by a dev at Valve. And they put all of the information on this on GitLab, so you can get all the files and kind of build this whole thing yourself. And it has all the information to go ahead and do that, you know. It would cost between $100 and $145, depending on, you know, which e-ink display you use and everything like that. But the cool thing I like about it is that it actually works over Bluetooth, so there's no physical connection to the Steam machine. So pretty cool that, you know,
JSAO was going to make one that you could just slap on, though.
Yeah, so JSAO is going to make one that you that you should just be able to slap on there. Probably be more than, probably be like 200 or something, I'm guessing. But yeah, pretty cool that that's all available now if you want to kind of tinker with your Steam machine. So yeah, also talking about Steam machine, they released Windows drivers. So if you did want to install Windows on your Steam machine, you can do that. So graphics, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, SD card reader functionality. So you can install Windows 10 or 11 now. No dual boot.
Yeah. That kind of stinks.
Yeah. No dual boot. So yeah, but the drivers are there. You can install Windows. So if you, you know, that was the big thing that we had talked about, was that this wasn't a Windows machine, right?
Yep.
So now it can be a Windows machine. They said in the future that they will release sort of an update for it that will support dual boot. So you could boot into the Steam machine, like Steam OS, or you can boot into Windows. I would assume, based on everything we've seen from mobile gaming consoles, Steam OS is going to run games better than Windows, because Windows will bog it down. But it's cool that we now have Windows drivers. Maybe they, I mean, didn't it sell out? Did it sell out?
Oh, I don't know. If it did,
maybe they were looking at sales and they're like, well, we should release Windows drivers. And then this interesting video came out that was found by somebody, a OS built by Microsoft that was essentially a Copilot OS. So it's an AI OS called Project Aeon. Never came out or anything like that. And I believe these videos are from 2024.
Wow.
So we have the video in the article if you want to check it out. But it's, again, essentially an OS that's like built on like Chromium-based Edge browser, no Windows 32 application support, and you kind of just like talk to it and like do stuff. Interesting, you know, project that was going on at Microsoft on this sort of like, you know, AI OS. Is this the future? Probably not. Is it interesting? Yeah. And the fact that they were doing this all the way back in 2024.
Yeah, that's before the huge explosion in the last 2 years.
So. Yeah, so they kind of knew what was going on.
They should have said, it should have said, "Good afternoon, Dave." You know, from 2001, Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Just to freak us out a little bit more.
I know, right? But yeah, it is kind of interesting. And I think in the future, this is kind of where we're going. Like, again, no like Win32 apps, like all like web-based apps and things like that. And then this thing called Spaces, where like you would have different things going on. And like I said, check out the video. It is really interesting if you're, you know, like I said, this could be something, you know, we could have a split of like, you know, this is Windows and this is whatever they're going to call, this is Copilot OS, right? We could see something like that in the future. So,
I can see Gravity, this on being on a phone.
Yeah. I can see this being on a phone, or on a tablet.
Or tablet. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Gravity Hammer said, if you're interested, I didn't buy a Steam machine. I bought the ROG Ally X for $900. Yeah. One, it's more portable. Two, you can plug it in. Like, and is ROG Ally X more powerful? Don't know. But yeah, it gives you a little bit more options, I think. Again, one, being portable, right? Steam machine is box. You can't take it on the plane and play with it, right?
Yeah.
And it's more expensive right now, too. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then our last bit of news talking about Microsoft is they are going to lay off 3,200 people across different studios throughout Xbox. And then I saw another article that also within Microsoft, not just Xbox, this 3,200 number is going to go up to 4,300 people that they're laying off. So big restructuring going on at Microsoft, specifically at Xbox, which makes you wonder, like, some of these studios, like, are they going to, like, you know, Yeah, five studios are being divested. Double Fine, Compulsion Games, Ninja Theory, Undead Labs, Arcane Lion are being divested or transitioned out of Xbox. So big change. Big change.
What did it say? It said management levels are being reduced to five levels or something.
Yeah.
Like, how many are they at now? Five is...
It's like it's one of those things where, like, these companies become so big, you're like, well, you make, you know, $300,000 a year. What do? I don't know. Yeah, just, you know.
Oh, why'd you have to ask?
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't have a job. Yeah. So, yeah. So, that is news for the week. Like I said, pretty... It's 30-60. It's just...
It's weird.
Yeah. We already talked about it, but coming up next week, I am taking a look at the ADATA Urban Tap Safe, which of course is sitting here because I've been testing it. But yeah, really cool portable SSD. I'll be taking a look at next week. There may be some other stuff, stuff I can't tell you about right now, but we will have a couple other things next week as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. The question of the week this week is, if you could, you know, it's not available yet, but it seems like it will be available. If you could dual boot a Steam machine, would it be worth it to you? Would it still be worth the, say, $1,300 for the, you know, for that? Or would you still rather build your own system?
I mean, we kind of discussed this last, like you said, last week, and the better value it feels like is the build your own.
Yeah.
Because you've got better upgradability path. And then at that point, you could probably dual boot. I don't know. But if you were the kind of person that knows they don't want to tinker with, like, swapping hardware out or having to deal with that, like, yeah, sure. Maybe again, it sits on your desk.
It's going to be 1400. No, it's going to be 13. It's going to be 1400 if they're going to sell a version with Windows, right? Because you want Windows. Like, again, if you're somebody who just wants to turn it on and plug it in, you're going to have a Windows license already on there. So then you got to, that's like an extra 100, right? That's going to add to the cost. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, you come to a screen, Windows or Steam OS, you choose Windows, then you go through your whole process, just like you bought a new PC. It still doesn't. For us, I'm sure everybody, all of us people who build our own computers, like, we're always just going to build our own computer at that price. I think it makes it more appealing to people who are considering it, because then it's not just a gaming machine. You could do your homework on it. You could do work on it. You could do other things on it. You know what I mean? So I think it makes it more appealing. Does it make it worth it? I don't think.
Yeah. You know? And that's like, where are these going to sit too? Like, is this going to be a living room? Like, console, I guess, for better lack of a better term, right? So then you got to get a wireless keyboard and mouse to sit like 10 feet away from it, or is that something you're just putting on a desk with a gaming monitor and you've got maybe a controller, but maybe you don't have a keyboard and mouse because you want to just play this with a controller. Now you got to like interface in a different way, and it's like, well, why didn't I just buy a computer?
Old man in the chat, before we end things here, he bought an EpoMaker Galaxy 68 QMK via wireless mechanical keyboard, anodized aluminum. It was $32 on Amazon last week. He's always getting those deals for key. He has to have more keyboards than I have. He's got to by now.
Like, he's, I'm sure he's bought some since the last time we talked about keyboards too.
Yeah. Old man talked about, he said he'd build, but there are a lot of console players who find the Steam machine appealing. Yeah. And I think I said, if you add Windows pre-installed dual boot option, it does make it more appealing because you can justify it more than just a gaming machine, which I think they're going to have to do based on pricing. So, but that is essentially it for this week, guys. I won't be gaming. I don't know if Ryan will be gaming, but
no, not tonight.
Yeah, no gaming this week. But thanks everybody for coming out. Everybody had a good amount of people in the live chat. So thanks everybody for chatting with us live. And of course, everybody that listens later. And of course, we want to thank our sponsor, ADATA, for sponsoring the podcast this week. So next week, we are going to be on Tuesday, right, Ryan?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So next week, not Wednesday, Tuesday. And we should be doing Tuesdays moving forward, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Just
okay. So next week we're going to start doing the podcast on Tuesdays, and then it will be Tuesday moving forward. But we'll, like I said, as long as you guys follow us on social media and get the updates, or you're in our Discord, we'll let you know when we're going to be going live and everything like that. So until next week, we will catch you guys later.